Welcome to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, the full hour edition of the Community Living Show.
Du hast einen Freund in mir. Du hast einen Freund in mir. Wenn's draußen kalt und gefährlich ist und du dein schönes warmes Bett vermisst, vergiss nie, dass du nicht alleine bist, denn du hast einen Freund in mir. Hey Junge, du hast einen Freund in mir.
That's the German version of You Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman. Of course, you're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Michael Rubin is away. We're going to do some episodes of Let's Talk Autism based on the YouTube website, or known as the Autism Live. So we're going to play you a little bit of content of autism in the facility. Enjoy.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. I'm Nancy Allspot Jackson.
And I'm Shannon Penrod, and you just saw previous D&Ds.
Yes, including our most recent one, which was two Sundays ago?
Yes.
Right, and we had our Halloween show last week, so we didn't talk about it, but we just want to talk a little bit about it today. I'm sorry, I'm adjusting so I can hear Kelby out there.
Because in just a few minutes, when we go to break, we're going to be joined by Byron Katie. I know some of you are tuning in to see Byron Katie, and we're very excited to have her on
yes.
the show.
And she's going to be doing the work with me.
Ooh, very excited about it. If you're not familiar with Byron Katie and have just stumbled across us, you've come to the right place.
Yes.
You've come home. But we're going to talk briefly about D&D, Dem and Diamonds
right.
and Stars for Autism.
Which was great. You were there. You were on the red carpet.
That's amazing.
I think we have some photos of Shannon
hitting
me on the red
interviewing
me on the red carpet. It was quite, I'm sorry, I keep looking over. There we are.
Oh.
There you are talking to me on the red carpet.
There's
That's
Nancy
me in
that
a gown
dress.
That was designed by Saeed Kobesi, and we auctioned it off.
So Nancy looks like a Barbie, and I look at you with
There's Lisa.
Gibbons.
She opened the show for us, my darling Lisa, who I was her executive producer, and she's remained one of my dearest friends.
She was just
And then is there one of Heavenly Joy with Lisa? Or is there's little Heavenly Joy from America's Got Talent with Lisa. She performed and was just amazing.
She brought the house down. It was truly wonderful.
And then do we have Sean Stockman and Sharonda by any chance? That's Sean and Sharonda who were honored. And that's Terry Lewis and his wife. Terry Lewis is one of the biggest R&B producers of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but he is. And he came that evening. And then we were auctioning off that gown, and Howie comes bursting onto the stage and says he'll throw in his pants by Lululemon, and he dropped them. He dropped trow and actually took them off, and he actually threw in his underwear in the bargain. He did not take his underwear off, but he did raise quite a bit of money for us. But he said Sean Stockman had raised a lot of money right before that by auctioning off VIP tickets and a trip to Las Vegas to hear Boys to Men. And Sean Stockman, for those of you who didn't see him on the show a couple of weeks ago, he and his wife Sharonda have their own charity, Micah's Voice, named after their son with autism, Micah, who is 13. And Sean was honored, and Sean sang a cappella medleys of his hits to raise the bidding, saying, okay, I'm going to be singing this. I mean, so Howie said he didn't have Sean's talent, so he could just go out there and make a, of himself. and offer his pants. So it was quite the evening.
It was quite the evening, and thank you for being the fearless leader that made
it. It was
happen.
A hard evening for me because my husband was in the hospital.
And no one would have known that at the event because you were a champion. You looked like a Barbie. You were dressed like a Barbie.
I don't want to look like a Barbie. I don't know that I want that look, but I would like to look good.
On any given day, I would be willing to look like a Barbie once.
Okay.
I look like Barbie's, inmate in prison. But anyway, you looked fabulous, and it was a wonderful event. It raised a whole bunch of money.
We think about $250,000 we're going to find
truly
out.
Truly amazing. So thank you to everybody who supported all of the
big
sponsors.
Shout out to Daphne Plump, the event producer, and to Amy Zhang, of course, in our office, who does so much, and all the sponsors like Card and TWIW and Raymond Rocks. Yeah, very, very nice. Yeah.
All right. So we'll probably talk some more about Denim and Diamonds in the coming weeks, but it's time. We have to take a break because we are going to be joined in just a few moments by Byron Katie,
who is the author of Loving What Is, among
and many other books,
and does a process called The Work, 4 questions that can change your life. And her purpose here, she says, is to alleviate suffering. And because I am, in my opinion, doing a lot of suffering because of my husband's cancer, my son's autism, and our financial crisis because of the resulting 2 conditions. I'd like to see how she can alleviate mine. I try not to suffer. I try to be proactive, but there is some suffering inherent in those situations. I'd like to see. It's going to be interesting to see how she deals with it.
Yeah, Nancy's willing to do some of the work with Katie, and we're thrilled to have Katie on the show and talk and introduce to some of you who don't know what the work is and how it might be helpful to you. So be right back after these messages.
Timber Concerts and CITR present renowned experimental musician, producer, and DJ Nightmares on Wax with special guest Hubs on Thursday, November 5th at the Alexander Gastown. Doors open at 9, show is at 10, and the show is 19+. Get your tickets today online at timberconcerts.com or at Red Cat, Zulu, or Beat Street Records.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show. We're talking about Let's Talk Autism, based on November 4th, 2015. You can also check it out on Autism Live and also on YouTube.
What do you think about the prevalence of autism, the rising number of prevalence, and what are your thoughts on what this world is going to be like with so many individuals on the autism spectrum?
I think a lot of the increase is just increased detection on the milder spectrum, but I think there is some severe autism that's increased. Older parents having children would be one factor. You know, lack of vitamins, like B vitamins prior to pregnancy, chemical insults, taking prescription drugs in the first trimester. There's a whole lot of little insults like this that can interact with susceptible genetics. I work in a technical field, and there's mild autism and Asperger's and dyslexics all over it. One of the best millwrights in the feedlot industry is severe dyslexic. He's one of the best millwrights that there is, and that builds complicated feed mills. And the thing that worries me is they've taken so many of the hands-on classes out of the school: cooking, sewing, woodworking, metalworking, auto shop. There's a lot of kids that are kind of different. They make great mechanics, and we have a shortage of mechanics right now. Mm-hmm. We have a shortage of engineers. I'm getting concerned that there's some smart kids that are kind of different, kind of getting a handicap label. Now, where the diagnosis really makes a difference is later on in life with their relationships. Mm-hmm. And the wife is wondering why the husband is not very demonstrative and, you know, not very lovey-dovey and emotional. And this is where getting a diagnosis can really help their marriage, because then the wife understands. See, that's where that kind of, when it comes to relationships, that's where the diagnosis can really, really make a difference. I think one of the problems today is sort of a more social society today. You know, the kid that was a little bit not too social before, he'd be out there in the auto mechanic shop getting along great with the shop teacher, mm-hmm. and they got rid of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You see, I'm in a weird situation where I walk back and forth between the autism world and the sort of metalworking and cattle working kind of world. And, oh, there's farmers that I know that are on the spectrum, and they're doing great in farming.
So maybe it's not that they're not these kids actually do have a diagnosis then, but maybe the prevalence was there before?
Well, I think on the mild end, I think the prevalence is probably there. But I think there's severe autism that has increased. Mm-hmm. There's way too much sugar in the diet. We also have an omega-3 deficient diet in this country. We're not getting enough omega-3s. I think go back to the alternative things, fish oil supplements, some of the B vitamins, mm-hmm. and lots of exercise. Kids are eating way too much sugar, and kids are not just getting enough activity. Mm-hmm. You know, mother used to say to me, go outside and run the energy out of you. Well, and kids aren't doing that today, so that makes the ADHD worse.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Community Living Show.
If your child was hurting,
if your family's future was uncertain,
if help seemed out of reach,
have you been given no hope?
TAGA means I am not alone in this.
This is the reality for families affected by autism. And today, the number of children with autism is growing more rapidly than ever. TAGA unites these families and shows that they do not have to fight this battle alone.
Our oldest son, Jared, who has autism, when we first took him to the doctor to get the diagnosis, you know, it's so sad because they offer you nothing. There's no help. There's no hope.
One of the things that you learn with autism is being very grateful for even the small milestones. You know, when you first get the diagnosis, you go through all the range of emotions. You know, this can't be happening. Why is this happening? You have to get to a point where it's the emotion that has to be leading is, what can I do? The first thing that struck me was walking to a room and seeing, oh my gosh, we're not alone. And there is this very strong community that's already set. And something I still today associate with TAGA the most is hope. To me, that's what TAGA means. TAGA means hope.
It's like you've got all these dreams and goals of what your son's gonna do, and you get your diagnosis and you're sent home. And that's it. There's no plan of action. There's no, here's autism, here's what we're gonna do to make your life better and help him. It's strictly go home and try to process it and go on the internet. It was devastating. And you just, you know, you go through this 3 week of depression and then you snap out of it. You have to. And then you start making phone calls and trying to figure out what is autism and what are we gonna do. And then we found TAGA and it was life changing.
Autism, there really is no definitive answer. It is trying to find the resources that are out there that can assist you to help your child so that, you know, you just don't feel so helpless at those particular moments.
There was direction and there was hope and there was a little ray of sunshine that he's gonna be okay and we're gonna be okay. I always look back and think we would never be where we are. Carson wouldn't be where he is at without TAGA.
So 13 years ago, my son was diagnosed with autism, and that put our whole family into a tailspin. There were so many different ideas and things that were not proven. Nobody knew what guidance to give us. We had no direction. And then we found TAGA. They helped give us a path to follow, help give our son a better future and make him healthy and put him back onto the road of recovery. When your son's first diagnosed, the first thing you hope for is, gosh, I just want my son to speak. I just want to be able to communicate with him in some way. Then you want a little more. You want him to go to a regular school. Then you want him to potentially have a real life and go to college. So you're always hoping for the future of your child. My son is a happy, healthy, vibrant young boy that's going to turn 15 really soon. And we couldn't be more pleased, and without TAGA, I don't think we'd be in the place that we are today. We believe the future is not defined for many affected by autism. There is hope and direction for these kids and their families. TAGA is dedicated to providing community, support, education, and hope to families affected by autism.
At TAGA?
At TAGA.
At TAGA.
We are families with autism helping.
Helping.
Helping families.
Helping families with autism.
Hi, my name is Matt. I am 19 years old and I was diagnosed with autism when I was 6 years old. Autism is one of the fastest growing developmental disabilities in the United States, but I am living proof that with the right treatment, hope is possible. My future is not limited. Today, I am attending Fullerton Community College, and I run for the cross country team for fun with my friends. It makes me feel proud when I think about my progress. Chances are you know someone affected by autism. Show them they are not alone and help others get on the road to recovery. Contribute to Talk About Curing Autism today.
Institute for Behavioral Training provides courses in applied behavior analysis for the treatment of autism. Access IBT e-learning videos on the move and learn at your own pace.
I'm going to talk a little bit about intensity.
IBT e-learning makes any location your classroom on the go.
So our objectives for today are to really learn what is autism and how is it diagnosed.
Get professional guidance with IBT face-to-face training. IBT face-to-face training courses prepare you to effectively implement ABA-based interventions. Choose between small group and one-to-one instruction. Earn BCBA supervision hours via one-to-one video conferencing.
So I had a chance to review your BIP today. You know what? It looked really good. You did a good job with that.
IBT, continuing education courses. Earn credit through webinars, conferences, article reviews, and e-learning videos. You can learn more at iBehavioralTraining.com. IBT, 360 degrees of ABA training.
Welcome back to Talk Autism.
We just had Doreen run out the door. She's here to hear
yes.
Byron
Dr.
Katie.
Dr. Doreen Grandpichet just came into the studio to say hello to Byron Katie and then ducked out so that she could hear. But Nancy and I are so excited because joining us via Skype right now is the really wonderful and fabulous, there she is, Byron Katie.
Hello.
Hello.
And Katie, thank you so much for being with us here today. We're all a Twitter and excited. For people who have never heard of you before, which I can't imagine that there's anybody out there who hasn't, but you are an amazing author. I've got your book, which was transformational for me in my life, Loving What Is, right here on the desk.
Yes.
You have given so much to so many people, helping to shine a flashlight into a way for us to find peace, and as you say, end suffering, that's your goal, to help us to end suffering. So I thank you for being here. I'm so excited that I know you've done extensive work with all kinds of people, even in prisons, and certainly you've done work, a lot of work with parents of children on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so thrilled that they've got a closer look at you today and have an opportunity to hear you in a little while. We're gonna talk about some things with Nancy and see if we can turn a thought around. But we thought we'd start, Katie, with introducing people who aren't familiar with what the work is and how it came about.
Well, the work is it's a process of meditating on a moment in time where we were stressed out. Maybe we were arguing with someone. Or maybe we were feeling, you know, we were worried about something or someone, or we were angry, upset. So those things continue to reoccur in our minds. And it's the cause of depression, etc. So the work is a way to identify what we were thinking and believing in that situation where we were experiencing stress.
And it's really transformational. But I wonder, Katie, if you could tell a little bit about how it came to be. How did you become so wise and discover the work?
Well, it was after years of depression, agoraphobia, just a terrible state of mind. I was sleeping on the floor because I really I was so full of self-loathing, I didn't believe I even deserved a bed to sleep in. Now, that's low, and I really was suicidal. So this particular morning, I was sleeping on the floor, and actually a cockroach crawled over my foot, and I opened my eyes, and I woke up in two ways. I woke up like I woke up every morning, and I also woke up with no identification. It was just that moment in time where there was no thought. And then the mind, all those thoughts just hit me, and all of a sudden there was a window and a ceiling and a bed, and there was this whole world that existed. So I saw in that moment.
So we're just going to have to leave it there, but you can also listen to it online as well on YouTube. Click under Let's Talk Autism, based on November 4th, 2015. Michael Rubin is finally here. How are you, Michael?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I don't know what happened on the East-West Connector and the Highway 91 and all that stuff.
Right.
But hey, we're gonna
take a break. But have your thought. We're gonna take a break and we'll come right back with. You got a special guest coming on.
Yes, I do have a special guest coming on.
Okay. So we'll be back in a moment with the special guest. Stick around. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks.
More about fashion. We asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a clothes.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, our full hour show. And Michael Rubin's here. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
So, that's good.
Like I said, we have a special guest today. Yes. His name is Nathan Siegel. And he'll probably correct me on the pronunciation of his last name in a few seconds here. But Nathan, he bases much of his teachings and everything in the work of Eckhart Tolle. And if you're familiar with Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie, they work in what's called neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP.
Actually, no, sorry.
What's that? Oh, did I say something wrong, Nathan?
Yeah, no. Eckhart Tolle is a spiritual teacher. Byron Katie is a spiritual teacher. Neuro-linguistic programming is something else. It's a technique. It involves hypnosis and behavioral stuff.
Okay, so welcome to the show, Nathan, and thank you for correcting me on that.
I thought I better.
I must have looked it up the wrong way. You know how you do the Google searches and all that kind of stuff.
Yes,
so,
I do.
Yeah. So, but you're really here to talk about our thoughts and how our thoughts help us and how they can hold us back and things like that.
Yes.
So, why is thought so important, and how does it help or hinder us?
Well, thought can be really important if you need to build a house or drive a car or do a particular task. But thought can become really destructive if you're thinking about things from the past that are painful to you and so on. Like, we like to think of our thoughts as being really important. But the truth is, outside of certain given tasks, like the ones I just mentioned, a lot of our time is spent in useless thinking about stuff from the past, things to do with the future, things that haven't happened yet. And like I said, if we're dealing with destructive thought, then it can cause us a great deal of suffering. And it, in truth, if you can look at your thoughts as like a box of tools that you pick up when you need to do a given task, then that's really great. But when you're finished, when you're finished working with the tools, you don't want to pack them around everywhere you go. You want to be able to put them down and stop and move on to something else. And so what I'm all about is showing people how to end their mental suffering, by reducing or stopping thinking entirely. Because when you're not thinking at all, there's no suffering, there are no problems.
I was taught that having a blank mind is actually a good thing. I was taught that having a blank mind was bad.
Yeah, that's normal for our society. We are taught that thinking is everything, and the blank spaces are to be avoided. And if you are not thinking, then many people, or the message from society is there's something wrong with you if you're not thinking. And there's some like motivational speakers who really harp on this and say you must think, you and on and on. But it's too much thinking, and especially negative thinking, that causes the various problems that people have in their lives. And you don't have to look very far in the world to see how negative thinking can cause problems, especially with highly entrenched belief systems. If you've just got a thought in your head and it just pops up and you don't pay it any attention, it will be like a cloud in the sky. It'll drift away and fade away, and that's no problem. Where the problems come in is where a thought shows up and you grab it and you make it real and you believe it, or you enshrine it with a whole bunch of other beliefs, and that's when where you can wind up with a whole bunch of trouble in your life.
I know for me personally, I at times I have a thought that it's something that happened in the past, and I started analyzing it and then trying to re-put it back together again so that I would have come up with a different outcome from it. So, mm-hmm. So from what you're saying is that that isn't like a good thing to actually do when you're just sitting there idly.
Well, it's a habitual thing that many people do. I mean, I've certainly gone through it at different times, and it still pops up. The trick is to be able to recognize it and change the way that you're thinking, or look at it in a different way so that the thoughts don't take you over. When the thoughts take you over and become you, essentially, then you're lost in the thought process, and you either wind up getting out of it when the mind runs out of steam or something else happens and the thought process changes. But if it's a really negative process to do with the past or even the future, then you can get caught up in this huge mental drama, and you create this inner war in your mind, and it goes back and forth, and it can really drain your energy very, very quickly. So the sooner you're able to recognize something like that and go, whoa, you know, I don't like this, and you want to make some changes, and there are lots of different things that you can do to change it, but the trick is to recognize it. If you don't, it becomes like a runaway train, and whoosh, before you know it, you're immersed in this huge thought pattern drama, which can go on for a very long time until it finally exhausts itself, and then you're exhausted as well.
Wow. It sounds very familiar. That's kind of how thoughts sometimes go for me. So if I learn to allow those thoughts just, as you say, pass by like a cloud and then dissipate. Mm-hmm. What are some of the real benefits of being able to do something like that, learning to do that, rather than grab a hold of that thought and hang on to it?
Well, the major benefit is that when you stop thinking, well, there are multiple benefits. Let me rephrase that. When your mind stops thinking and you actually wind up living, when you experience spaciousness in your mind, is sometimes synonymous with stillness and peace. And so what happens is that your entire body will begin to relax. Your posture will change. Your thinking will change. You will suddenly become aware of everything that's going on around you. See, when you become completely silent and still and at peace, then things can come. And so long as your mind doesn't create a story or judgment about what's going on, then that thing can just happen and it will appear in your mind, it will occupy your mind, it will sit there for a while, and then it will go. So, for example, like I live on a noisy street, and every now and then a dog starts barking. It's like, oh. And when that happens in the stillness of your mind, when everything is completely still and silent, and there are no filters operating, judging, ooh, I hate that sound. If you don't have any of that, and the sound is just allowed to fill your mind without any judgment of any kind, it will be there for a while, you'll notice it, and then it will fade away. And something else will probably happen, or it might not. Things might be quiet for a while. Either way, when you're completely still like that, you're at peace, and you become aligned with the universe in that way. Because the nature of the universe is to exist in silence. And when you tap into that, the first time it shows up, you might notice, like as I did, when it showed up after this one particular experience, I felt this huge field of silence just rise in me, and I could feel eternal silence in every direction. Despite whatever noise was on top of it, underneath, everything was still and silent and peaceful. So that's what you will notice, and some of the benefits. And also, of course, the benefits are to your body. You're going to act differently in the world. There are ways that you can respond that are different than if you're thinking about something, you're going to get a certain response. But if you're coming from silence and something shows up and you respond from a place of silence, your experience of life is going to be dramatically different and probably considerably better.
Well, so I guess how long did it take you to get to the point that you are? And maybe you can tell us a story of how this whole thing has changed your life.
Sure. Well, I mean, I've been involved in spiritual practice for a very, very long time. And I started into it in earnest a little over 20 years ago. The thing is, it didn't really start to change until some major things happened a number of years ago, different traumas and so on. And it was a result of those traumas that I wound up seeking out advanced spiritual teaching. And I wound up meeting a fellow by the name of Stephen Bodian, who is a teacher in the Adyashanti lineage. And I studied with him for 2 years, and he helped me quite a bit with dealing with the traumas. But at one point he said to me, you're done. Spiritual awakening is going to happen for you. And a few months later it did. And I literally woke up out of the dream of the incessant thinking or what some call the dream of your life situation, and I could see things in a completely different way for the first time. And after that, a whole bunch of stuff from my past came back and I had to start dealing with it. And as things progressed, like a major change happened about 10 months ago. And what I've been doing is something called modeling. And I was modeling Eckhart Tolle. I was studying, working with his teachings extensively. And one evening I was listening to a particular teaching. And I'm just going to reference an article that I wrote about it because it's easier for me to talk about it.
Yeah.
But basically what happened was about 2 years ago I built a website called How to End Your Suffering. And the purpose of the site is to show people how to undo the thought patterns that cause suffering. And I started to interview all these people. And then one evening changed, everything changed when I was listening to this video by Eckhart Tolle. And just to go through some of what I wrote here, it said the change took place when I arrived at a certain section in the video. And I heard the words, enlightenment consciously chosen means to relinquish your attachment to past and future and make the now the main focus of your life. It means choosing to dwell in the state of presence rather than in time. It means saying yes to what is. You then don't need pain anymore. How much time do you think you will need before you can say, I will create no more pain, no more suffering? How much more pain do you think you will need before you can make that choice? If you think you need more time, you will get more time and more pain. Time and pain are inseparable. And so then in the next section, it began with the words, the power to choose. And in that section, it was only 5 minutes long, but it contained a teaching which radically transformed my entire life. So the essence of this teaching is all of your mental and emotional suffering can be traced to a single root cause, thinking. When you stop thinking, your entire story of me, your drama, history, tales of woe, victimization, if that's going on, it dissolves. And when you stop thinking, in the absence of thought, no suffering can exist. So when I heard that, there was an instant recognition. Everything inside me lined up, and I knew I was ready. And in that moment, I made a commitment to live in this place of not creating further suffering for myself. And my thought processes dropped by about 80 to 90%. And then all of a sudden, I felt this huge field of stillness arise and just expand in every direction. And then right after that, I began living in stillness most of the time. So I would literally live for long periods of time without thinking. And thoughts would come up every now and then, but they would be like clouds in the sky, and I would just watch them, and then they would fade away. And it created this incredible peace in my life that I'd never known existed. Mm-hmm. And Eckhart Tolle, there was one teaching that he did. And see, I didn't really realize what had happened to me. I knew it was important. I just didn't know what it was. And then a while ago, I wound up listening to a teaching by Eckhart where he basically said the single most important thing that can happen to you on the spiritual journey is X. And he described exactly what had happened to me. So one of the byproducts of this is developing the ability to literally stop thinking when I don't want to think. There are times that if I notice I'm in a thought stream and it's not particularly comfortable, I can say to myself, stop thinking, or I can simply stop and things become quiet. And from that place, life is so much more different. A lot of the problems that I would have perceived before, they simply don't happen anymore, or at least not as much. Because when you're not thinking, you're not suffering, you're not going through all these dramas. And what a lot of people don't realize is that this state of not thinking is actually your natural state. When some people say to me, oh, it's not natural to stop thinking. There's something wrong if you do that. I'm going, sorry, but the reality is this. Not thinking is your natural state. Thinking is not natural. You were taught how to think. And that eventually took you over and became who you think you are. So,
because most of our listeners are disabled, so I'm going to try to have you frame that a little bit. Say something happens, they're either bullied by a person on the street or maybe bullied by some government worker or something like that. And days go past, and if they start thinking about it, are you saying that they don't have to relive the whole experience? It's just like, oh yeah, I remember that happened, and it just kind of passes away?
Well, the number one thing a person needs to do as far as bullying is concerned is you need to remove yourself from the source of what's causing the problem. Mm-hmm. In my own experiences with bullying, one of the things is that it has a tendency to create obsessive thought patterns that are very, very difficult to stop. And the very first thing that one needs to do is you need to get away from the source of the problem, whatever it is that you need to do. Mm-hmm. Change schools, quit your job, whatever it is. And some people will say, oh, no, I can't do that because of my pension. I'm going, well, you might not be alive to get your pension if you let this keep going, because bullying can cause psychiatric injuries like post-traumatic stress disorder and massive distress in a person's life that can take many, many years to recover. So the very first thing you need to do is get away from the source. And then once you get away from the source, you can use some of the teachings of what I've learned to calm your mind down. And so one of the very important things is, if you're dealing with a really incessant, painful mind stream that has a life of its own and doesn't want to stop, it's essential to direct your energy out of the mind and into the body. Because when you bring that energy down from the mind and into the body, the more you spend on it, eventually when you focus, say, on your stomach, or if your mind is really active, you might decide to go for a walk. Like, one of the things I like to do is go for a walk on the beach with the surf, the waves going over my bare feet, and so on. You direct your energy into the stomach or your feet or whatever part of the body where you can maintain your energy and focus. And when you do that over a period of time, and I can't say how long, it's different for every person, but when you do that, what will happen is the energy of the thought processes will start to slow down. And the longer you do it, eventually those thought processes will slow down and stop. And you'll suddenly notice that you're no longer in pain from this instant. Now, the thing is, it's going to come back.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to hold you right there. Kelly's giving me a signal that we need to go to a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back and you'll finish that answer, okay?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, this is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're coming right back in a moment.
Look out, it's Hardcore 2015, this Saturday, November 7th. Come on down to the Rickshaw Theater for the greatest night of punk rock Vancouver has seen in years. Canadian punk rock legends DOA and Gob join forces for the first time ever. Your world will be changed and your sorry complacent will be kicked. They will also be joined by the Boyds from Montreal and the sensational Wet Stilettos. Join the fun before DOA takes a hiatus as Joe Keithley works on becoming BC's next premier. Visit www.ticketfly.com for tickets.
Well-known pimp. Narcotics king. Big-time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Loading Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Kelly Rayburn, along with Michael Rubin.
And we have Nathan with us via Skype.
How are you doing, Nathan?
You pitched a...
Oh, sorry.
Not sure what it's like anymore.
Sorry about that. Well, how are you doing today, Nathan?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay, so go ahead and finish the answer to our last question.
Sure. Well, essentially what you need to do when you're dealing with really painful obsessive thought streams is to direct your energy into the body. And I recommend the stomach. That's usually an area that I like to focus on. The other thing was talking about going for a walk in the surf. When you're doing walking and you're focusing on your feet, you're doing what some people call mindful meditation. And the purpose of it is to bring the energy out of the mind into the body. And over a period of time, as the energy in the mind dissipates, and you start focusing more on the body and the aliveness that's happening in the body and the feeling that's happening in the body, it will eventually dissipate what's going on in the mind, and the suffering caused by all these incessant painful thoughts will eventually slow down and stop. Now, the thing about this is that while it will stop at that period of time, it will almost certainly come back. And the trick is to be disciplined and to be aware when these thoughts come up. It's like, oh, here's this pattern again. And then find a different way to get out of the mind, to reduce that energy. And the best way that I know of is to drop into the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It makes sense. There's others that I've spoken with that have said that the mind and the stomach or gut are kind of interconnected, and when your gut feels at ease, your mind usually will also be at ease also. So it sounds like you're saying something very similar to that.
Well, all parts of the body are connected. And what many people make the mistake of thinking of is, I need a pill or I need something like this. Now, a pill may help you, but ultimately it's not going to remove the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is thinking. And my major purpose with people is showing them how to reduce their thinking or stop it entirely. Because when you stop thinking, you have space. And when you have space, there's no suffering of any kind. And if you cultivate that over time and you spend more and more time or learn how to access that stillness, which is natural to every human being, most people don't even know that there's an excellent chance that they experience stillness in their lives on a daily basis, but they're simply not aware of it, or their mind says, oh, this isn't valuable, so they just discard it because they think, oh, well, you know, this isn't important. And yet, it's that stillness, that natural stillness, which is our birthright, and it's the same for every human being. Once they learn about it, then they can start going, oh, well, and if they allow it. See, this is the key. So many people do not allow this thing to flourish. They think something is wrong, so they squash it, suppress it, and go back into thinking. They don't realize that the antidote to their suffering is to stop thinking or to reduce the amount that they think.
Wow. So I know you have a Google Hangout.
Yes.
I believe it's Monday evenings, right?
Yes, Monday at 5 o'clock. And the easiest way for people to get access to that, I mean, there's obviously the Google listings, but I recently registered a hashtag, so it's hashtag Inner Peace Teachings, all one word. And if you pop that into your browser, it will bring up the Google Hangout, as well as my website and other things like that.
Really cool. I'll remember that. Inner Peace Teachings.
Yes, hashtag Inner Peace Teachings.
Hashtag Inner Peace Teachings.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of terms that I wanted to clear up that you use from time to time in it, and I wrote these down. And one of them was reframing, and the other one was pattern interrupts. So what did they actually mean?
Well, those are both from neurolinguistic programming, NLP for short. Reframing is where you take an experience, and instead of allowing it to stay in a certain context, you change it. So an example of a reframe was when I was working with this one client, and she was talking about this repetitive pattern that she would do every time a particular problem came up. And one day, something happened. And instead of reacting in the same old way, she did almost like an about face or a 90-degree turn, and she did something entirely different. She actually did two things. She did a pattern interrupt, and she also did the reframing. But she changed in midstream, and she did something entirely different, which came out of nowhere. It was just a thought, which she followed. And the end result is that she solved her problem, and all the suffering and all the drama went away. So that's an example of reframing. Or like you take a negative situation with, say, a boss who has a tendency to yell at you. And so an example of reframing is, instead of thinking of that boss yelling at you, you put on one of those fake noses and the funny mustache and those really weird glasses that make him look like Groucho Marx, I think it's who it's trying to ape. And then you change the person's voice in your mind so it sounds like a cartoon, and you change their motion, you speed it up and slow it down. That's a way of reframing so that you take the energy of that problem and you turn it into a totally different context. You reframe it so that you take the energy out of it. You take the steam and the drama out of it. So that's an example of a reframe. As for a pattern interrupt, here's an example that I used a number of years ago. I was sitting in a Starbucks and having coffee, and I wound up talking with this woman in front of me. And after a while, I realized that I really wasn't enjoying this conversation. So I did two things, actually. I realized because of NLP, I wanted to end this. And so I did two things. I did something called breaking rapport and pattern interrupt. So I broke the pattern of our conversation by getting up and saying, oh, sorry, got to use the bathroom. And I took off. When I came back, she was gone, which is exactly what I wanted. So a pattern interrupt is where, for example, if somebody's talking in a really negative way and it's really starting to drag you down, you may want to do something where you suddenly look out the window and go, wow, isn't that a cool looking tree? Look at that squirrel. I mean, it sounds really silly, but if you do that, you will break the pattern. You'll shock the person and they'll go, and that's what you want. And when you break the pattern, then there's something else you can do. And the bit with the squirrel, this has been an ongoing joke with some of my friends who like to play with ADD. It's like, and they go on and on and on and on, and then all of a sudden somebody goes, oh, wow, look at that squirrel. And of course, everybody breaks out laughing, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as you know, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and we use that term all the time, squirrel.
that's why you started laughing.
It literally means a distraction and a break in the conversation because somebody became distracted.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's another aspect to it. Since you are aware of the squirrel bit, and me saying it brings up this whole different thing for you, and you guys burst out laughing. That's another NLP strategy. It's called anchoring. And when you create an anchor, you create, it can be a word, it can be a physical response. And when somebody triggers that anchor, it brings up all this stuff to do with that anchor. So that's why you guys started laughing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anchors are really useful with what I teach people how to do. So, for example, show somebody how to attain this place of inner peace, and they start to be in that for a period of time. So a really great anchor might be for them to cross their, like maybe do a thumb and first finger thing, like in meditation, or clasping their hands in a particular way, or doing something with their physiology, their physical posture, whatever it is. And when you hold that for a while and you do that repeatedly, whenever you reach that place of inner peace, what you're doing is creating an anchor. And so let's say you wind up in an obsessive mind stream that starts becoming really painful. A way of suddenly changing your state is to activate that anchor when you remember it. And it will change your state very quickly, and you'll move from what was a real upset on your way to inner peace, if not inner peace very quickly. So it's a very useful tool.
Mm. Wow. And that's more of the stuff that you talk about in your Hangout also, right?
Yes. I mean, yeah, because there's so many different things. Like various spiritual teachers talk about ways to, for many of them, it's about spiritual awakening. I'm all about inner peace. If spiritual awakening happens, that's great. But my primary goal is to help people stop suffering. So that's what I do. That's my thing.
So does the inner peace lead to the spiritual awakening, or do you have to have the spiritual awakening before you have inner peace?
I think it's entirely possible to have inner peace before spiritual awakening. I don't think that there's any set of rules. Let's say you must do one before the other can happen. Now, in terms of my own process, it happened to be spiritual awakening first, and then all these things came later. But I'm of the belief that it can happen before that. I don't think they're necessarily linked. Like one of the things that I've seen looking back now, spiritual awakening is that there are many people out there that say you must do things a certain way for this to happen. Mm-hmm. And from my own experience, I've seen that that's actually not true. But for example, one of my teachers, Stephen Bodian, was telling me of the story of a woman who was an antique dealer. She had no spiritual practice of any kind. She was on her way to work one day, and boom, she woke up out of the dream, and then all these things started happening. There's a guy in England, his name is Tony Parsons. He was walking across a field one day, and from one step to another, boom, everything changed. So in my experience, there actually aren't any rules. These things can suddenly manifest out of nowhere. It's like what happened recently with you and Daniel when you introduced me to Laura, and then we wound up doing that hangout, and then it led to something else, and then it led to another thing, and then all of a sudden I was asked to write something out to do with bullying, about of all things. And when I did that, it led me into a place of very old, stuck pain in my life. And when I did that, and I brought it to light for the first time in 37 years and looked at it and made it concrete in a way that I couldn't repress it, then all of a sudden, within a few hours, everything changed and the entire drama just suddenly vanished in my life. So a lot of the stuff that happens here is it's what seems like a chance event or a coincidence or something, where something shows up and all of a sudden everything changes. Who knows why it happens? It right. just does. And there's no set of rules saying how that's going to come about.
So it's more of a thing, just look for things to happen and don't worry about the rules.
That's part of it. And also creating space in your life for things to actually transpire. Like many people on the spiritual journey, there are multiple openings, and yet they tend to repress it. Which yes. is very common. And life is trying to tell you at different points what it wants. And so many of us, because of the nature of the mind and thinking, we ignore it or we suppress it.
Right. So I don't want to suppress this at all. Give us a whole bunch of ways for people to get a hold of you, because this is important stuff.
Sure.
And I want people to learn this. And you sound like almost a perfect teacher. So how does everybody find you?
Well, there are multiple ways. One of the fastest ways with some of what's going on is that hashtag, Inner Peace Teachings, all one word. That's one way. That will help you find the Google Hangout. And if you want to join us on Monday, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, we run a hangout for an hour. And you're welcome to join us in that. The other way is through my website, which is nathansegal.info. So it's nathansegal.info. So that's my website. And for people who want to get involved in working with me, you would just take that website URL, add a /, and then the letters IPM/. And that'll take you to a page where you can get involved in working with me. Now, the other option is email. If you want to write to me, my email address is admin@nathansegal.org. And the other way of getting in contact, well, a couple other ways, Skype. If you want to add me as a friend or a contact on Skype, it would be nathan.segal. Right. And if you want to call me directly, my number is 408-844-4851.
All right.
Cool.
Thank you. So,
thanks for joining Welcome. Us, Nathan. And I apologize for being, we were a little late getting to you, but I'm glad we had you on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. That was
Nathan Segal.
Yeah.
He actually lives on the Baja Peninsula in Mexico.
Interesting.
So I was hoping he's having some sunshine down there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
What's on tomorrow?
I'm hoping that we have Karina Keeley on.
All right. Check us out on Co-op Radio, CFRO, 2 to 2:30.
Yeah, I'm hoping she'll be able to bring her guitar and her hand is all completely healed up.
All right. And, of course, we'll see you all again next week. Same time, same station. We'll be back again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.